This is a free Off the Ball podcast. For access to the best in sporting analysis from the likes of Brian O'Driscoll, Andy Dunn, Kevin Kilbane, Dion Fanning, Tommy Walsh, Darren O'Sullivan and lots more, become an Off the Ball member today.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Daily.
Welcome back to Tuesday night's Off the Ball. Now, as you know, Ellen Walsh went over to Paris last week for the European Championships and she came home yesterday with two European gold medals, one in the 200 metre individual medley and a gold as well in the 400 metre individual medley. And I'm very happy to say she's with us here in studio. Ellen, congratulations and welcome home.
Thank you so much and thanks for having me.
What has the last 24 hours been like? Has it been a bit of a blur?
Yeah, I'd say a bit of a blur, but I think it's all last week is kind of starting to sink in a little bit. But yeah, it's very busy at the moment.
What do you get to do now since you're home? Is it just go home, sort of enjoy some home cooking, sort of splash out a little bit on that front? Is it meeting your friends? What do you do that you couldn't do in the build up to the championships?
Yeah, I think you definitely have a bit more free time on your hands. Trying to enjoy the media side of it as well. And yeah, spend time with family and friends and just enjoy the medals.
It kind of feels that the championships themselves are also a blur and they become even more blurry the more successful you are, because then all of a sudden when you have success, you've got more interviews to do, you've got medal ceremonies to attend to. It's a hard old life being a top class swimmer.
Yeah, I think a lot of athletes would swim multiple events or at least one to two events throughout the week. So you might be talking like heat, semis and finals. That begins, it's three rounds of it and that can go on. That goes on for a day and a half. And so the meet becomes very long. I raced four events over there and some of them were times by three. So it does become a very long week. But trying to like stay focused and refocusing after medals was a little bit difficult.
I can imagine. Like, do you need to be focused or do you sometimes let the guard down and say, actually, this is amazing, I can enjoy this?
I definitely let the guard down after the 4 a.m. Just was like, try not to be so stressed going into it and just try and enjoy these moments because they don't last forever. And like the week's over now.
Yeah.
And everyone's saying like, oh, it was so great to see the swimming and the athletics. And like it was. But when we're over there, we're like so nervous and I can't wait for the week to be over. But again, like we just try. I know me and Mona were talking like just try to not wish the whole week away because it was so successful for the Irish team.
It's very difficult to do that, I'd imagine. And I'd say that's something that's taken time to get good at because it is your life. It's your livelihood, yeah. A big section of it. And performing is something that you need to do, not something that you want to do.
Yeah, I think we knew these championships were quite late in our kind of year, like mid-August is usually we're on downtime at this time. So we kind of, I was over at World Cups in October and then trying to get all the way to mid-August just felt like so, so long. But I knew the schedule for the week. I knew what I'd lined up to. I didn't expect to get two gold medals. I think one was shocking enough. Two was even unbelievable. And I think on that Wednesday night when I hit the wall and I just was so shocked, I couldn't believe it. And I think to wind down from that, like your phone's hopping, everyone's texting you, people are calling you and it's just trying to soak up that moment because it doesn't last forever.
What were the expectations?
I think I always believed I could stand on the podium. I went in one of the top rankings into the 4 a.m. And yeah, I would have any medal, I think, at that stage. It was just a dream. And I think to take the gold and hear the Irish anthem on the podium was really special.
What do you actually see? Remind us of this. It's one dot, is it, if you finish fourth? And it's certain, the number of dots is where you finish on the podium.
So when you finish the race, if you're first, second or third, there's dots on the side of the pool, on the side of the block. So there'd be one if you're first, two if you're, and then, but it, after three, there's no dots if you don't get anything. So you just go, okay, great. But no, yeah, I think when I saw one, I couldn't even turn around. I was like, oh my goodness, it's just so relieved. I was quite stressed walking out to the race and I kind of bigged it up a lot in my head. Just trying to stay relaxed was hard in that particular moment, but I did pull through and I'm delighted with it.
Why were you stressed?
I think I knew I was one of the top rankings going in. I knew I had something special to deliver. I trained very hard. I saw my backstroke come together very well, which is the second leg of the 400 IM. I'd had that done in nationals a few weeks but prior to that, so I knew I was in a good place. So yeah, it was just kind of a little bit stressful.
Yeah, naturally. It's just interesting to hear what exactly is informing that. I think everybody can understand why there is a sense of stress, particularly given what you did last year as well, and all of a sudden everybody's like, oh my God, she's one of the best in Europe right now, and delivering on expectation is by definition a stressful thing, I guess.
Yeah, I think delivering under pressure, self-inflicted pressure really, to be honest, for me, and I just wanted to do it for everybody, my family, my friends, my coach Brian, who was on the sideline, and I think that was just, it just all was such a special moment.
You're clearly good under pressure though.
Yeah, I think learning to fight the demons is hard. It's definitely a huge challenge. And committing to every single piece of the race can be also a challenge. But I'm just reminded myself when I got to the block, just don't regret anything you do. Just go for it. And yeah, that's what I did.
You committed to every piece of the race. Let's go through the pieces of the two finals then, because they were extraordinary watches, really. So the 400 metres, which was first up, you're sixth after the butterfly, third after the backstroke, second after the breaststroke, and of course, you end up winning the thing. In the 200 final, it's even more dramatic. You're on the outside lane. You're seventh through the butterfly, sixth after the backstroke, and fifth after the breaststroke. So that 200 final, talk to us about that final 50. Did you know that you were as far back as fifth?
No, I think the nice thing about IM is it's so exciting to watch because each leg can change very quickly because everyone's got their strengths and weaknesses throughout the event. Like some people are better on fly and backstroke, breaststroke, etc. And yeah, I think I knew with the going in on an outside lane, I didn't know what was going on in the middle lanes, which when you have the middle lane, you can kind of see either side to an extent. So I knew I was going to, I said on the block to myself, I was like, you're going to have to race this yourself. You know what I mean? Don't be looking around you, finding things to distract you. So just try to really do my way, the way I like to race it. And yeah, I knew coming down that last, I kind of last 25, I was like, oh, it's a line of bodies here. So I don't think I took a breath on the last 10 metres and just tried to finish really strong.
Yeah, I wonder, look, there's no way of answering this question, although you've raced thousands and thousands of hours in your life, that you might be able to give us some accurate answer to this. If you were in one of the middle lanes and you find yourself sixth after the backstroke, do you think you might have raced differently, or that there might have been more stress involved there that might not have led to good things?
I think with the middle lanes, for me personally, when I've turned and I've been ahead, I rush on the breaststroke stroke. I take too many strokes instead of stretching it out. And for me, I need to race it with a slightly longer stroke than slightly shorter one. And you can just kind of feel people creeping up on you. And I just didn't have that out on the side lane. I just put it together in my way and just forgot about what everyone else was doing, which I find when I'm in the middle lanes, I'm slightly more under pressure. But again, that also works as a positive, trying to stay ahead. So,
of course.
Because that was where the heat and semi was in them middle lanes, and they worked out well too. So yeah, I think it's just a different mindset maybe slightly when you're moving to different lanes. You just can't see what the whole pack are doing.
And being semi-stressed during the breaststroke, could that lead to something as dramatic as an extra stroke in a 50 metre pool?
Yeah, I think you can rush the stroke a little bit, which you're just taking too many strokes. And just spinning is what we kind of call it.
What does that mean, where you're going up and down?
Just taking too many.
Taking too many.
Like at very high rate.
Okay.
So yeah, just trying to stretch it out. That's where my breaststroke is at its best. So try not to get too panicked on the breaststroke.
We had Andrew Bree with us on the show last night, who knows a lot about swimming, hell of a lot more than I do. So I'm going to reference a lot of what he said last night, because it certainly informed me about how the individual medley works. And he referred to the breaststroke as the punisher. So a big thing there is not just nailing it, but also conserving your energy for the final leg of the IM. Is that a pretty accurate way to break it down?
Yeah, I think the fly leg, that should be one of my strengths, but as it's the first leg, you know, everyone's using up a lot of energy on it. And then the backstroke, everyone kind of settles. And then I think when you come into the breaststroke leg, I think it kind of can be that make or break, to be honest. When you're turning on the freestyle, you know you're ahead. You're going to do everything you can to stay ahead. And then again, if it comes the other way, if you're coming into breaststroke, you can see freestylers you're fighting. But I think, yeah, the breaststroke can be a kind of make or break for a lot of medley swimmers.
And do you think that is what sort of set the groundwork for you to actually win gold on both occasions? It wasn't so much how amazing you were in the free. It was actually that you had that little bit of battery left.
Yeah.
Because of how you handled the breast.
I think I set myself up quite well on the breaststroke in both finals, the 200 and the 400. They kind of, I did stretch it out. I did get down to the time I needed. And then I knew just kicking off that wall, trying to get to 15 metres and hammer home.
Is there something on the last turn as well that you're doing or something that you've worked on?
I try to play to my strengths. When you're under pressure, I think sometimes they can fall apart. But I know that's one big one that I have. And I try to leave it for the end just to see if it's going to make any difference. And trying to get to that 14.5 metre line and straight up a 15 and just get the whole way home.
Wait, sorry, what do you mean there? You've got a different way of turning at the last compared to the rest.
Yeah, I think the thing with underwaters is it's hypoxic. So like the more you spend under it, you're going to be a lot out of breath when you come up. So I know I have the energy to do it on the last wall, but every wall we haven't quite got there just yet.
Ah, I see. That makes sense.
Yeah. 15 metres is quite a lot underwater. And trying to do that off every wall would be a lot.
Of course. So that's a big key to this then. Has this taken a while to actually even get to this point to do that on your last wall?
Yeah, I think I've always kind of tried it out. Sometimes I've lost momentum doing it and sometimes I've gained it. So at the weekend, last week, I felt like I gained momentum straight into that freestyle leg. And other times it hasn't quite worked out like that.
Can I ask in terms of the work that you've actually done with your physiotherapist or conditioning coach, maybe Donny Fox?
Yeah,
What's that involved? I'll leave this nice and broad because he was brought up last night by Andrew as well. What have you worked on there to get the best out of yourself?
Yeah, we've worked together for the past couple of years. And I think we work really well together. We've trained not so much heavy weights, more just kind of moving the body and how we kind of put it into perspective in terms of like race starts, quick and fast, and just, yeah, I don't really know.
Well, it's because to transform that into what you're actually doing in the pool. So you're talking about the quick starts.
Yeah.
Like what does that actually look like when you're doing the gym work?
I think it's like jumps, a lot of box jumps, like the hexic bar. It wouldn't be a lot of like heavy weight lifting. I'm not trying to be a sprinter, so I'm not trying to put on bulky muscle. I'm trying to stay lean. I race a 400, so I've got to go quite a long distance. So it's just trying to staying as strong as I can in the body that I have and not trying to build on any more muscle than I don't need to weigh myself down.
And when did you start this particular part of the program? Is this leading into this season or has this been going back a few years?
We've worked together for the past number of years and it's kind of been very similar what we've done. And I really enjoy it and we work really well together.
And as you mentioned there, it's all about getting the best out of yourself in these races. Am I right in saying that a lot of your competitors and a lot of the other people on the podiums in particular would be taller than you and the approach is vastly different?
Everyone says this to me, like, you're not a bit small for something. I'm like, I don't know. I guess if you were to have that perfect swimmer, you're probably looking at someone 6 foot, long arms, big hands, big feet, and that's definitely not me. But I think, again, you know, everyone's got strength and weaknesses. People say like they'd have the reach on the finish, but it's like I've got a smaller turn rotation. But yeah, I don't think height kind of really matters in what the events that I do particularly. There's definitely other athletes out there, like swimmers that are the same height as me. But yeah, I guess the perfect swimmer wouldn't probably be my height.
Well, or maybe the perfect swimmer doesn't exist in terms of what.
Yeah, I don't think there is a particular height, weight, size, like it doesn't matter in swimming. So I think it's just whatever.
Yeah,
whatever you can pull yourself through the water as fast as you can.
We're all talking nonsense saying you have to be a certain height to be a world-class swimmer. And I think probably the work that you've done in terms of, I guess, getting the best out of, your advantage that you have compared to the range of your swimmers is really interesting. And I think that probably is a template for people in the future. Like I think that's a really positive example. Because a lot of people, I'd imagine, are still told, unless you're 6 foot tall, you don't stand a chance in this game.
Yeah.
Actually, you do. You can be one of the best in the business.
Yeah, no, I'd never get on the block and have that in my head that, oh, I mightn't be as good because I'm smaller. It's probably never, ever entered my head. I never believed that I was at a disadvantage because of my height. I still don't today. I've stood on the podium. I'm double European champion now and I was a lot smaller than my competitors at the weekend.
Talk to us about the training at the moment then and what you'd have done to build up to this. Would you have moved largely to a 50 metre pool for this or is 25 metres for the bulk of your training grand?
Yeah, I train full time in the Temple Oak Swim Club pool. I've trained there my entire life. I did go out to the States for a year and then came back with an illness, so took a few months out and then back to Temple Oak. I do the odd 50 metre session in UCD, and obviously I've raced a bit of long course this season as well, which is kind of what it is, but most of the training would be all done short course metres, yeah.
So is the idea that you need to be in a 50 metre pool the whole time, just like the height thing, completely over?
No, I think as me and Mona said, like, once you've got a pool with a full tank of water, you're doing well.
Yeah, like, I think, again, that's quite important. Like, there's also probably benefits that you get from being in a 25 metre pool that you don't get from a 50, or what do you reckon on that one?
Yeah, I much more enjoy the short course metres. I think it's because I'm probably used to it a bit more. I prefer to race short course, but now I'm getting a little bit liking the long course, a little bit more, but I'm still all for short course. But yeah, I think it's just getting the train done wherever. I don't think, it definitely might come down to a couple of turns. There are things we can fix closer up to, into the time, but I don't think, for me personally, that I would have really needed that 50 metre pool.
Have you brought the medals back to the pool yet in Temple Oak? Have you been down there this morning at all?
No, I actually haven't been down there this morning. But I'm sure I'll pay a visit.
Definitely.
In the next couple of days.
And obviously your coach, Brian Sweeney, he's somebody of Temple Oak. He still runs the program down there as well. And he would have come through the ranks at Temple Oak as a young fella as well. So much like yourself, it's very much all in Temple Oak and what is now a pretty iconic swimming pool. That relationship is really important, and what he's done to push you to this level.
Yeah, we've worked together. I think we talked about it. I think I was 10 or 11 when I came up into his squad. And he's been by my side every time I've competed since, for the last number of years. And it was very special to have him over there in Paris, for the first time in a long course meet. We've been together, we had recently been together in a junior meet, but never since that. So it's probably been 10 years since we've been back there together. So that was super special, to have him on the sideline.
What makes him a great coach?
I think just his detail and planning. He's extremely freakily organised. I definitely believe I'm organised as well, but he is OTT when it comes to organisation. So he's always thinking, I wouldn't say 10 steps ahead, I'd say nearly 100 steps ahead. His brain is always switched on. It's swimming all time, every day, every second of his life. And yeah, he gives it 100%. So yeah, I think when you live and breathe the sport, and as a coach, like, you're hopefully going to be one of the most successful in Ireland. I think he nearly is.
Yeah, definitely. And he's working with Swim Ireland in a more general capacity now as well, is he?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, fair enough. Because obviously what he's done, I mean, it deserves that sort of recognition. And I'm sure he's got tricks and tips that'll help a whole host of other swimmers. Again, you can't really speak for him, but he must just get so much personal pride out of your success, especially given the way you come through in his pool in Temple Oak and seeing you go to the very top of the game. It must be so special for him.
Yeah, I think even he reminds me of, like, coaches that were here before, management that was here before, that would be so proud of what the two of us have achieved in Temple Oak from our small little bath we have there, as he calls it. I call it a pool, he calls it a bath. But yeah, I think, like, it is so special what we've done. And I think everyone recognises from this small club program that we've delivered so much success. But yeah, for him, I think it is just huge. And I hope other athletes coming through the club and more athletes, I think we have a great club program there.
It must be absolutely packed to the rafters in terms of people wanting to swim at Temple Oak right now.
Yeah, I think so. I think the applications are always flying in. The club is at max capacity, I think, at the moment, with like 120 something members, which is huge for such a small pool. But yeah, no, we're in a great place.
It seems that that's a theme for a lot of swimming pools around the country. And I know when I spoke to you last December, the Swim Ireland report around access to swimming pools had just come out that very day, I think. And one of the statistics in it is that 67% of swimming pools have waiting lists at the moment. At its basic, it's a life-saving skill. So 67% of them having waiting lists isn't great. And I'm sure this is going to be something that you get asked about all the time. It's about the access to swimming pools and just the need for more of them, particularly public ones.
Yeah, I think even like our own, like, there's waiting lists out the door, as it has been for many years. And like, it's a community like that wants to, you know, have a local pool to be able to swim in and not have to travel too far. And we're so lucky that we have a few of them around us. But when it gets out that bit further, like, they don't have that access, and it becomes as you said, it's a life skill that people learn for when they get older, if they want to head out to the beach or something, that everyone should learn to swim. I teach kids myself out of Temple Oak. I do the school's classes during the week. And yeah, it's great to give back to the sport and show them the skills that I learned and for them to hopefully progress them forward.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, because you'd imagine this is the moment where that conversation will accelerate, what yourself and Mona have continued to do for Ireland on the world stage and on the European stage. Would suggest that if there's going to be any changes in terms of an investment in swimming, now is kind of the time.
Yeah, I think definitely, like, there's always going to be a need for more of them. In every area is going to want a pool. I think even just seeing the success of the heights of what has happened and what can be achieved from our little country that we have. And then again, for take it back a couple of generations to the younger ones coming up to learn to swim is a huge program, and for them to learn the skills for, if it's future, it doesn't have to be a competitive, it can be a social hobby that they have on the side. It's just the importance of it.
So when do you go back coaching the kids?
Not to the schools, go
back. Of course, sorry, yeah. It's middle of August right now.
I'm off on my school holidays. Yeah.
But you're off around the country soon as well with Mona and with Danielle, I think, doing some clinics.
Yeah, we kick off tomorrow in...
Right.
We kick off tomorrow in the clinics, and we're going all the way around, and we finish, I think, on Saturday in New Ross. So yeah, it's going to be great fun to kind of show our skills, let them ask buckets of questions to us, and yeah, that was us one day, so it'd be nice to give back that.
Do you get a great kick out of coaching and teaching?
Yeah, I do. I think it's very special that even when the kids like recognise you and stuff, to kind of go, oh my God, like, she's just a normal kind of person. But yeah, no, the kids are great. They're the ones I teach are 4 and 5, and they're great fun. But these ones for the clinics this week will be slightly older. They'll understand what swimming is, and they're all members of clubs themselves. So it'd be nice to give them some tips and tricks.
We spoke at the start of this interview about your mental preparation and the mindset going into these big races. It must have helped having Mona with you for the whole week.
Yeah, we shared a room since Tokyo. So we have our kind of little rituals that we like to do. A lot of quiet time, real like chill and stuff. And I think having each other and bouncing off each other and like how emotion, like we know how each other feel, like that's a very niche thing when we get to the back of the block between call room and stuff. So it's nice to be able to say it, and then we're like, okay, that's it now, onto like better topics and stuff. But it is really nice to have someone that's going through the same thing and understands it as well.
Do you talk a lot about racing when you're out of the swimming centre?
I'd say we talk about more like the mental side of it, and then we probably reflect on our races together. Probably in a bit more depth than we would with a lot of other people. But yeah, I think we've really helped each other that way. Well, she's definitely helped me anyways. And we just remind each other, like, just go for it. Don't regret it. Like, we've got this. You've trained for years for these moments, and let's not throw them all away when they're right in front of you. So I think that was just our little kind of message, just trying to like stay in the zone when it really mattered.
You mentioned the psychological or mental aspects there a moment ago. When Mark English was on the show last week after he won gold, he was saying that he took out a page of fool's cap and wrote down 15 times in a row, "I am the European champion," before he had done it. Anything on that level to get yourself into the zone to achieve what you just have?
Yeah, I like just something kind of like... I wouldn't say get in the zone, but I've kind of started to read when we go on these camps. They can be quite long. The days become quite long, and just to kind of switch off from your phone. So I read so many in Singapore. I was like, oh, I might have to buy a Kindle now. Yeah. I was like, oh, I'm going real out now with reading. And then I hadn't read a book all year. I was like, oh no. But no, I got back to it there, and I read Kira. And she was a European, she's obviously a European champion. And I finished that book on the Wednesday, and then I became European champion that night.
No
so
way.
That was so special. And I remember coming home tomorrow and I was like, I finished my book. And like then I came home with a gold medal, and I thought that was just such a coincidence and just so special to remember that too.
That's an amazing little nugget, really.
Yeah.
Like, we talk about inspirational sports people in this country, and what you have done in the last week is absolutely inspirational, and winning and being a European champion. And then there's Ciara Magee in terms of everything that's going on in her life right now. Mm-hmm. And that is the definition of an inspirational sports person. That's so interesting that it was
it
her that you were reading
together
that week.
In the one, like, I think that was what me and Mona were like, it just all came together in the one moment. I just finished the book, and then that night I became a European champion just as she is. So it was really cool.
Has that sunk in that you are European champ?
No, definitely not. I think still trying to wrap my head around. I haven't watched back the races. I don't really want to just now. I think just even the emotion is still just feeling a bit overwhelmed when I go back and watch it. But yeah, no, I know I will one day and have a good look at them and see where we can be better as well.
I really hate after these championships asking about the Olympic Games, but every time I've heard somebody asked about the Olympic Games over the last couple of weeks, they're like, yeah, 100% our mind and our focus is on them. Like, it seems to be these two parallel things, that Europeans are all that mattered last week, but they matter extra because it's a stepping stone on the way to 2 years' time.
Yeah, I think we can't hide from the Olympics. It's two years away now, and I think it does creep in on you. We work in four-year cycles, but like 2 years isn't far away. It's still far enough away to change and develop on so many different skills. But it's like we still got to look at it very real. And this time next year, we get to put qualification standards on the board. So that's not even a year away. Like that started July next year. So it was nice to hit them target times this summer as well, getting up there with them A standards. So that is definitely a relief a little bit that I've been there before. I hadn't been there when I had qualified for Paris. So the year out. But I think to even be at them standards now, I'm obviously in a really good place. I just need to keep building on that heading into next year.
Definitely. Well, Ellen, it's been great having you in studio. Thanks a million for popping in. Many, many congratulations. And I'm sure you're going to get a great buzz going around the country over the next few days. Ellen Walsh, congrats.
Thanks so much for having me.
Off the Ball Daily.
This is a free Off the Ball podcast. For access to the best in sporting analysis from the likes of Brian O'Driscoll, Andy Dunn, Kevin Kilbane, Dion Fanning, Tommy Walsh, Darren O'Sullivan and lots more, become an Off the Ball member today.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.